Shall I take your order, or do you need a minute?
Yes, I'll be ready. Just buying a car on Carvana.
What?
It's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do was answer a few questions.
What? That's handy.
Yeah, now I'm customizing my down and monthly payments.
What? That's an exquisite deal.
And just like that, Carvana's delivering my car in a couple days.
What?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll have the burrito.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval. Delivery fees may apply.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. Hey, Joe, guess what's going to happen here on March 8th and 9th up here in Cleveland?
Tactical civics meeting?
No, we're going to have plenty of those. Nope. We have. No, what's going to happen is bringing America back to life. And that's the largest
back to life.
That's the largest pro-life conference in the country. And it's happening right here in America. I go there every year. In fact, I've spoken at several. And that is this coming March 8th and 9th. And, again, it's about families. It's about life. It's about election. It's about education. It's a pro-family, pro-God, pro-family, pro-America conference. And some of the speakers are going to be Stephen Mosher. He is an attorney, an authority on China and the population issues of fighting the coercive population issues there in China. Then you got Mark Hauck. Mark, remember Mark? We had him on the radio program some years ago. Back, he was a pro-life activist like us, and he ran into trouble with a corrupt police. Anyhow,
right? They didn't care for him. They got him in a lot of trouble.
He's a pro-life warrior and father of seven. He was acquitted of federal charges after defending his 12-year-old son from an aggressive pro-deather out at the abortion mill. Remember, they stormed into his house, pointing guns at his children.
Combat gear, and here's a pastor with no weapons in the house, just wife and several children, terrified the children. I mean, these people always use that overwhelming force just to intimidate people.
And he's going to have a pro-life doctor. It's called Dr. William Life. That's his name, Dr. William Life. He's a pro-life doctor who actually believes that the preborn babies are actually patients, Joe, who deserve proper care and legal protection, just like the rest of us.
Wow.
And can you believe there's a guy with common sense, right?
There's a guy that knows what God said.
Yep. And then you had, by the way, folks, you can go for more information on this. You can go up to bringingamericabacktolife.org. bringingamericabacktolife.org, and that is this coming March 8th and 9th there at the Style. What is the name of the hotel we go to? No, it's the one right down the street. I'm the big conference that we have every year, March 9th and 8th. Well, we'll tell you later.
When we remember.
Yeah. We're coming for you, Joe Biden. We're all going like Joe. No, but you're getting close to the Rockside Prof Plaza. It's right down the street from that. I'll have it. But I'll tell you who else is going to be there. You ready for this, Joe? I just talked to him today. Pastor Arthur Pawlowski. Do you know who Arthur Pawlowski is?
No, I don't.
He's that freedom-fighting pastor there in Canada that they went after, closed down his church, took him to jail because...
Yeah.
Because...
They shut him down, tried... Yeah, he was... They couldn't stomach the truth, and he was busy telling it.
Because he was holding church services, and they said no church services. Remember when they tried to do that here? They said no more than 10 people. And we put it, I came right on the radio. I said, folks, we're going to have a regular church service. We're not going to be wearing masks. And we're not going to be doing, you know, that distancing. We're going to continue on in our church because we know that all of that is nothing but, it's a, nothing but a con, okay? And so we're going to be doing just exactly what God's Word, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves in the house of God. And we did. And in our situation, we actually had help from the authorities to make sure people didn't bother us in the process. So we praise the good Lord for that, huh?
Exactly. You had some good people around you, and they were inspired. Well, you had the Lord's protection.
Yep,
you were doing what he told you to, so he protected you.
So I was just talking to Pastor Archer today, and he's going to be with us, Lord's willing. Lord's willing. I'm almost afraid to say it because whenever I give certain announcements, you know, they come under attack. They try to start hacking us, trying to take us down. And you'll notice that hasn't happened in a while. We haven't had that happening in a while. They made some adjustments there in, I guess you'd call it our firewall or whatever. I'm almost afraid to,
yeah,
to say that too, okay?
True, right.
But
they
anyhow.
They got through mine and, you know, messed me up, so, yeah, be careful.
Yeah, so anyhow, I'll just say this, he's going to be with us in the very near future here, Lord's willing.
Good.
So I really hate to go ahead and tell. Remember how it used to be every time? I learned with Larry Nichols.
That's what happened. Yep.
Yeah, whenever I was going to have someone like Larry Nichols or whatever, boom, they would start trying to take us down, try hacking us. So folks, March 8th and 9th, click to register. Go to bringingamericabacktolife.org, and that is right there, and nobody can remember the hotel, even though we're there every year, we go to it. But I'll have it all together by tomorrow. Right. Okay.
It's not just us. Even Stal can't remember. It's just down the road from him. So, you know.
Yeah. He's probably looking. If I know Stal, he is a sharp young man. He's probably trying to find out right now. And if he does, he'll tell us. Then we'll tell you guys, right?
Right. Sounds good. In the meantime, I've got something I want to bring up that's going on. Patrice Lewis is a country girl that conservative Christian. She's a homesteader, and she's a good little journalist, as well as being a, you know, like I said, a real, real strong Christian. And she writes often for World News Daily, WND.com. And she's talking about their World Economic Forum has been coming after our food. They're working and the UN. The UN is working with banks to kind of mess up the American food industry. Farmers are being attacked all over the world. We know in Germany and other places, France, and the banks are joining with the governments kind of to put their ESG government into effect. You know, if you control the food, what, you control the people.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, just it just came to me. It's Embassy Suites there. Embassy Suites. I heard a voice. And the voice told me, Embassy Suites, right there, just down the street from where we're at, the radio station there. But go ahead.
Embassy Suites, okay. So what we have is one of her articles is Save the Earth by Criminalizing Farming. And the World Economic Forum is behind all of this. They're calling it a serious crime. And they're saying it's equal to genocide. When I first read that line, I thought, you got to be kidding. But no, this comes from Jojo Mehta, co-founder and CEO of Stop Ecocide International. That's one of those NGOs that works for the United Nations. And any activity that results in food, fishing, farming, hunting, results in mass damage and destruction of nature and should be stopped or controlled. To clarify, ecocide is the term coined to recognize environmental destruction as an act of war.
Recognized as a serious crime, right?
Right.
That's what it says.
Serious crime that the United Nations is backing. So making several articles kind of short, they're coming after the farms. They're obsessed with food. And now they're literally saying the carbon now here it is, and it came from The Guardian newspaper in London. Carbon foot of homegrown food is 5 times greater than food grown conventionally. Now, wait a minute. Think about that. The carbon footprint. If you grow food in your backyard, in your own little garden, your carbon footprint is 5 times greater than vegetables grown commercially, you know, with the big diesel tractors and the plowing and the harvesters and everything. You know, these people are really, it's not from the growing of the food, but the infrastructure that's needed to allow the food to be grown, you know, the raised beds, the garden shed, your pathway in the garden. And they say farming should be left to professionals. Now we find the UN is working with banks to control and destroy the farming industry. A group of top officials representing 12 U.S. states has raised alarm after discovering that the unelected globalist UN is secretly working with banks. Yep. The banks are using a Marxist environmental, social, and corporate governance, that's that ESG, to score and penalize farmers. Traditional, you know, rural farmers who aren't woke enough, according to their ESG scoring, they're planning on debanking them, having their accounts shut down. And the plot is to throttle the agriculture industry to eliminate those who do not comply with the globalist net zero agenda of the World Economic Forum. And many of these banks have teamed up with a UN organization called Net Zero Banking Alliance. Net Zero Banking Alliance, the NZBA. And they're going after wood stoves, pellet stoves, firewood harvesting. They want rural people to, you can't have firewood for heat or cook your food. They are going after the insurance companies, trying to get them to not insure homes that have wood heat, which out where I live would be just about everybody I know has a wood stove, at least for backup. Many people have wood heat for their main source of heat. And if you think this is conspiracy theory, you know, remember Gretchen Whitmer?
Oh, yeah.
Long ago during the pandemic? She prohibited, remember, the sale of gardening tools and seeds. So if you were not buying food or medicine, you should not be going to the store, she said. But it was okay to go and buy lottery tickets, go and buy liquor. But
and
you couldn't
pot,
buy
yeah.
Garden tool and seeds. Get it?
And the churches had to be closed. The churches had to be closed down, but the bloody abortion mills could open.
Mills. Amen. So you can see where they're headed. If they control the food, they control the people. So, you know, if they control and get you to stop harvesting your own vegetables, they're going to try and make it difficult. In fact, a lot of the people have been talking about trying to, save the planet, and they want to license. They'll start with licensing, you know, growing food. You'll have to get a license, and then they're going to set it up where people have to do food sharing allotments, and they'll only be allowed to use seeds from approved vendors, seeds of GMO, genetically modified plants, all that. That'll mitigate the impact of climate change. And these are, you know, Terminator seeds. That means they're sterile. You can't use the seeds to replant. You have to keep buying from the seed companies. So anyway, she finishes this whole big article with, they say everyone should know the hill they're willing to die on. This is mine. To all the World Economic Forum elites out there, foreign and domestic, listen very carefully. Lean in real close so I can whisper. Ready? Hands off our farm. And I will add to that, off my farm and all my neighbors' farms. If they really want to start a war, you start messing with farmers and ranchers. These are independent folk, and they will fight. They will not obey. They will not go quietly, I guarantee you, being one of them.
Well, out here, Joe, to where I live, too, you have a lot of people have gardens. I mean, a lot of people, and more, and because they don't really trust the food supply anymore.
And the food isn't as good. You show me a place you can go buy a good tomato. No, you get good tomatoes out of backyard gardens. You don't get commercially good tomatoes or
right.
vegetables.
Absolutely. And so, what do you call it? The seeds that we use too, and have the
I use heirloom seeds, the kind that you
heirloom,
the,
yeah.
The seeds, and you can replant them the next year, like they
yep.
used to. But they're trying to get rid of that. They want you to use those genetically modified seeds, so you have to go back to big, you know, industry. I can't think of the name of the company that, anyway, you have to go back and get them, buy the seeds. But in other words, they control the source of food then. So everybody out here goes to the Amish and the Mennonites, and they always buy heirloom seeds for their gardens.
There you go. Joe, did you know?
You can store for years if you store them properly, you know, in good Mylar bags and airtight containers. They can store for many, 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 many years. So people out here buy them in bulk.
Well, out here where we live, a lot of the people are, you know, they stock up on food. But I know that in the cities and that, they've got less than 1 week's food supply. For the most
exactly.
part.
So they are very, well, that's why cities tend to be Democrat, because look at a city. You're dependent on government. What? For your water, for your trash collection, for your electricity, everything. Like I said, out here, most of my neighbors have wood heat. And, you know, if the electricity goes off, they've got heat. They can cook their food. They stay warm. You know, and the farther away you are from the city, the more independent you are, the harder you are to control. And those in the city are the easiest to control, because everything is dependent. Public transportation, everything depends on government, right?
Right. And sin has always prospered in the big cities, you know,
mm-hmm.
starting back
exactly.
in the days where, you know, you have it. And look at it now. This is where Democrats, they seem to, are drawn into that. That's where all the crime is, all the sin is in the cities. Look at, oh, you got it, murder. I mean, if you look at Baltimore, look at Boston, look at Detroit, look at D.C., the district
yeah.
of crime. Denver, the crime rate is going way up in Denver out there, Atlanta, you name it, and boy, when it's Philadelphia, everywhere the Democrats, everywhere that they're in charge there in those cities, you have high crime rates. And so there you go. Now, 89%, let me just do this. 89% of Americans, elites, those are the million, the trillionaire and billionaires, whatever, they backed the World Economic Forum's plan to ration meat, gas, electricity, and, you know, for the rest of us. A disturbing news report has emerged revealing that an overwhelming number of so-called American elites support the tyrannical climate policies of the World Economic Forum. According to a report from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, America's wealthiest citizens fully support the World Economic Forum's plan to ration gas, electricity, meat, dairy products, etc., for the general public in order to allegedly fight climate change. You know, climate change is like evolution. It's just another one of these big scams. It's just unbelievable. And how can people be so stupid? By the way, did you know, Joe, this, that speaking of that, do you know that and what took place in 1936? In 1936, recorded the hottest temperatures in the United States. And so, but why, but where do you hear that? It was 1936, and we have not been that hot since then. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres announced in July that the era of global warming had ended and the era of global boiling has arrived. Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Really? Yep. Okay. Well, that's okay. The same thing. The remember the guy that invented that hockey stick for the climate change thing? And he was proven, what, Michael Mann, yeah. And all the other scientists proved him wrong, that he left out some information that was very critical, and that the hockey stick was not valid. Well, he turned around and went to the, get what, D.C. courts. He went to Washington, D.C. He filed a suit, and he won in the D.C. court against certain Mark Steen and some of the other defendants, and they almost pay $1 in compensatory damage, but some of these people are stuck paying, you know, a large chunk of money in punitive damages, and $1 million, actually. Mark Steen, one of the defendants, has to pay $1 million in punitive. Rand Simberg has to pay, I guess, some thousands of dollars. And anyway, this guy was a liar, but he made this defamation suit. It wouldn't go anywhere else, but he finally took it, got it into a Washington, D.C. jury where follow the science. And he's a screaming liberal, so there's another time where the good guys lost, the lies won, the liars got a case there. Nobody wins in that D.C. court unless you are a communist.
Well, there was one court that today gave us a good verdict, and that was the so-called Supreme Court. They voted 9-0, and I haven't seen that in a long, long time.
Oh, no, not a 9-0. That's been a long time coming.
9-0 that you and I could sue the government. That week that the citizens now can sue the government and for certain areas because...
Isn't it interesting? I'm looking at Fox News, and it's not at all in any of the stories on Fox News on their website. I would thought that would be big news.
Well, it is.
Yes, I bet it, you know, just can't compete with Taylor Swift and, Kanye West and all that. So
yeah.
Apparently it's not anything that they figure we need to know.
Yeah, I kind of got tired of hearing about Taylor Swift, didn't you?
Yeah, sick and tired of it. You go to get news and it's all about, you know, them. But here's something for all our listeners in New York City especially and other big cities. If you live in a big city, FBI is warning that MS-13 and some new brutal Venezuelan migrant gangs could join forces terrorizing New York, and this would be other cities. This feared gang in Venezuela, it's got an interesting name. It's hard to pronounce. Been coming up and taking over territories. It's called Tren de Arga, and it's a rapidly expanding its activities. They're the ones doing the cell phone thefts. You saw that picture of the kid on the moped going by, grabbing the lady in her phone, but dragging her into a pole. And they're monitoring this gang's growth. It's happening in cities all across America. And they are working with, they claim, MS-13 and other gangs. And they, gangs normally don't mix, but because they're growing, they're having a setting up chain of sending stuff back out of America to sell, like the cell phones and purses. And so we are seeing these cartels and these gangs forming actual large criminal organizations, and it's getting scary, and they're worried about it. But, well, the FBI, you know, just doesn't have the people to apparently get in there and find them and stop them. And it said their first victims are their fellow Venezuelans, but they're actually going to all the different where the illegals are being housed, the tent housing, the hotels, wherever they are, and they're recruiting, and they're getting all these young people to come and join them and go to work for them. So anyway, it's going to be, the cities are going to get even more dangerous than they are now, if that's possible. And these gangs now are becoming worldwide and even going over into Europe. Kind of the world is no longer a safe place, is it?
No, it's not. Anyhow, I think we ought to open the phone lines to take some calls. What do you think?
Sounds like a good idea. We've got a lot of things going on out there.
All righty, here. Okay, let's do that. Let's open the phone lines. We'll take some calls. And Chicago moves to ban natural gas from private homes. Can you believe this? Chicago moves to ban natural gas from private homes to meet the World Economic Forum's net zero goals. Guess what? There's a whole lot of people in Chicago and right now that are really getting fed up with this communist mayor that they've got there. In the crime, unbelievable. He's you know, taking the benefits away from the residents there and giving them to illegal aliens, and people are getting really tired of that. And so it is a large movement amongst the Democrats to abandon the Communist Party and vote for Trump. And so,
and it's getting worse because they're taking money from the community care system that was put in place by Trump for the veterans, so they didn't have to drive so far for health care. And they're taking the money out of that and using it to give health care to the illegals. And I'm quite sure of it because one of the doctor, a dentist I go to got dropped because of non-payment of funds. The VA didn't have any funds for the veterans because it was taken away by the government and used to pay for the immigrant illegals. And I know for sure because it happened to me.
Well, they took away some of your benefits, or?
Mm-hmm. The dentist refused any more to treat veterans because they weren't getting paid. The community care system didn't have the funds. It had gone elsewhere.
Well, again, when we've got, I remember, and again, all of this really, it didn't start with Obama, but Obama was the one behind the purging. And in fact, when Trump was in, everything there at the VA, all their attitudes were so different than at the VA. And here again, we've got to get the country back. Here's an article,
Amen.
Joe. U.S. medical schools defy Supreme Court ruling, say they continue to teach anti-white. They continue to teach anti-white hate to the next generation of doctors. And so, you know what? People are getting real fed up with all of this. And you're going to see, I'm hoping to see some independent medical schools pop up. And I know more and more people are going to a naturopath people. In large numbers, they're moving away. They've lost all trust in the medical profession out there because of the COVID, because of what took place.
Well, so, the government, also remember the other night we were talking about the decline in the military recruiting, And today was a big article in the Daily Caller that Aquine has been in the white recruits. They've looked at the past 5 years' data, Army, Navy, Air Force, and the drop in recruiting has been all whites. It's not in any of the minority groups. They're all steady. So what it is this all this racist DEI, all this other stuff, and all the sodomy is keeping the white Christians that made up the bulk of the military from joining. So it's having an effect all over this country.
Okay, here's the article here. This is by Ethan Huff. And it says that, guess what, we'll be back right after this.
And I won't ever let you down, but you should have a fear of me.
This world you made in glory, your word is history now, my Lord. From sin I'm free, your love has done this for me, I pray.
Have always done every single word I say. Words, my words are what I've used to turn your heart to me. You know I've always done every single word that I say. My words will never pass away. My words are here to stay. Heaven and earth will pass, but my words will never go away. Words, my words are what I use. Turn your heart to me. They are my words. My words are what I use to turn your heart to me. They are my words. My words are what I use to turn your heart to me.
All right, his words. You know what? The universe was spoken into existence with God's word. You say, well, I don't believe that. You will. Yep, you will. Anyhow, there you go. And that was that wasn't really God singing that song. If it was, it had sounded much better. But actually, that was Julie and yours truly, old Pastor Ernie. And we're going to go out to San Diego. We have Jack in the air. Hey, Jack.
Yes, I was going to talk tonight about why Nikki Haley is not eligible to be president. If you
really
have the qualifications to be president, the Constitution creates two types of citizens, natural born and citizen of the United States. Now, we're all citizens of the United States, but we're not all natural born, which means one or more of your parents would have had to been born in the United States. So Nikki Haley is a citizen by virtue of the 14th Amendment. If you look at the 14th Amendment, everybody that is a 14th Amendment citizen is a citizen of the United States, and they're not natural born. So go back to the qualifications to be president. It says that you have to be natural born or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of the Constitution. So why did they create two types of citizens, and why did they limit citizens of the United States were only eligible to be president at the time of the adoption of the Constitution? The reason is, when the Constitution was adopted, previously there was no United States, and therefore there would have been no natural born. So they made that brief exception for citizens of the United States to be president only if they were held that status at the time the Constitution was adopted. And, of course, that would not apply to Nikki Haley, and she's not eligible to be president. Only natural-born citizens can be president today.
Well, how did that apply to Obama? How did that apply to Obama?
Oh, because he was born in Hawaii.
Oh.
His mother was a citizen.
Well, there's a whole lot of people that would tell you different than that. He wasn't really born in Hawaii. I heard his grandmother say that she was born, and Michelle said that he was born in, where was it, Joe?
Kenya. Kenya.
Yeah, Michelle was in Kenya, and she was speaking, and she's, I'm right near the birthplace, and Bill Clinton was there. In fact, we have a clip that we play, and it's got
about the, you know.
He has got Bill Clinton talking to the mayor there in Kenya, and he's asking the mayor, is this actually the birthplace, because they had a plaque, the birthplace of Barack Obama? And the mayor says, yeah, but his grandmother had said, yes, I was there when he was born. And then guess what? He made a visit to her in the hospital, and then she became room temperature in a hurry.
All right, well, let's look at Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was born in Canada. At the time, his father was a Canadian citizen, and his mother was a U.S. citizen. So according to the laws of Canada, he's a natural-born Canadian citizen. So how does he think he can run for president of the United States?
Well, maybe he's got a dual citizenship.
He's a natural-born Canadian citizen, not a natural-born United States citizen.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, well, look, what I have found is, Pastor Ernie, a lot of times people just ignore the Constitution, and they don't really, I think sometimes they don't really understand it. But now, so I tell people that disagree with me about Nikki Haley, I say, okay, so why does the Constitution, when it comes to qualifications to be president, why does it show two types of citizens? And think about it. When the Constitution was adopted and the United States of America was created, there was no natural-born citizens. So they made that brief exception in time that all citizens of the United States were eligible to be president. But that no longer applies because, of course, for Nikki Haley, she wasn't born at the time of the adoption of the Constitution. She was born here in the United States, but both her parents were not citizens. So she's a citizen of the United States, but she's not natural born. But citizens of the United States are no longer eligible to be president.
There you go, my friend.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Jack. You too. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. There's allegations that the Joe Biden team has sent people door to door in Venezuela to recruit migrants. Another thing, on LifeSiteNews.com, there's a case depicted in Australia of a guy named Dan. His employer mandated the shots. He took two, didn't want a third. They harassed him to take a third, got pericarditis. He's suing the government of Australia. They all agree it was caused by the shots, but they're also holding the employer liable for the mandate, saying even though they weren't the main contributor to it, they had a significant contribution to his condition by mandating the shots. So that's interesting, and the idea of the employers also being held liable for these mandates on their employees. A second thing on LifeSiteNews.com right now is they talk about this woman who was a liaison to the World Economic Forum who's pro-abortion from the Vatican. And her language is for ESG is this is for the common good. Keep stressing the word, the common good. My question for you guys is, you were talking about a conscience. Going to Romans chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, it brings up that word conscience. The backdrop of Romans chapter 1, it's talking about a reprobate mind and vile affections. Now, if you went into the Colosseum, you do have a reprobate mind to a degree, and there's no one there to stop you. So that's why you maybe need a conscience. So what do you think about Romans chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, and particularly verse 15?
Well, if you go and you say, for not the heaven of the law, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, and their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, and meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. Well, I think it means exactly what he's saying. You have to go back to verse 12 where it says, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. So even though God had a chosen nation, there's no respect of persons with God. So since all have sinned, both Jews and Gentiles, what he's saying right here is all are under the condemnation. Now the Jews, excuse me, had knowledge of God's written law, and that's what he was talking about there in verse 15, and covenant to keep the law, so they must be judged by the law, for the law is the knowledge of sin. But God has written at least an intuitive knowledge of his law internally in the human conscience, and no Gentile has been able to live up even to the knowledge. Therefore, furthermore, they have what he's saying here is there's ample evidence of God in the external creation, so that they are without excuse. In other words, you're going back to Romans 1. And he's telling you all of creation tells people that there's a God. I mean, nobody's ever seen a creation without a creator. Sometimes you got to just stop and you wonder, why? Why do we look the way we look? Why don't we look like some of those drawings they have of these Martians and whatever? Well, God's Word, the Bible, explains it very clearly, okay? And so they know this. They know that we were made in the image of God. And here, but now, they weren't given the letter of the law, but we're under the spirit of the law. And there's two different things there. No one was ever able to keep the letter of the law except the Lord Jesus himself. Because if you broke, why could not... you keep the letter of the law. Why do you think, Cliff?
I guess is it too difficult? Is it too out of reach?
No, it's because the law was perfect, and within us, within the flesh, dwelleth sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, because the sin dwells within us, we're not able. Romans chapter 7 really explains that very, very well. You know, because we have what? We have the old man, the sin nature. We have a sin nature. And to have a sin nature and try to keep the law, the letter of the law, it's impossible. So because the law is perfect, the letter, and we are not, the only thing it can do for us is condemn us. Christ was the only one. He fulfilled the law. He was the only one that was able to do that. Do you know why? He had no sin nature. There you go.
So what would you say when in verse 15 they say, accuse and then excuse? Just that's a little bit perplexing. They're acute. People are accusing and then excusing. How do you see that today?
Well, when he says when they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, well, this goes back to your sin nature. That means while accusing or else excusing, he's talking about one another. In other words, look, I know I'm not perfect, but compared to Joe, you know.
You're really good, yeah. We accuse others of doing things that we do ourselves, and then we turn around and we make excuses for ourselves. We do both of those things. In fact, the left does that all the time. They always accuse the right of doing what they're doing. If they're stealing, lying, cheating, they accuse us of it. And that's God saying that's basic human nature. That's the nature of the beast. And then they turn around and plead. You know, they want to excuse themselves. Well, I have an excuse for my behavior. You ask a little kid why they stole the cookie, they have an excuse, even though they knew better than to take the cookies.
Yeah. Read Romans chapter 7. That explains that very clearly. So.
Right. So, but another thing is that you can see in ancient Rome, say someone was standing outside the Colosseum, there was nobody to stop them from going in there. So that's a reprobate mind. That's not vile affections. That's, if you walk in the Colosseum, that's a reprobate mind, but there's no one there to stop you in ancient Rome.
Well, it doesn't have to be there. No matter where you're at, down in the Amazon jungle where I was for a long time, I could tell you this, that you had people that lived in the jungle, the natives there, and they knew that they knew some right to wrong. They knew there was things that, you know, were wrong to do. They knew that stealing was wrong. They knew that a lot of the things that we know that are sin are sinful, but they didn't have any Bibles, okay? And most of those people out there didn't have, there were no churches or anything out there. So
yeah,
God lays it on the...
People didn't beat their children, didn't rape their children, didn't, very little rape in the village, very little mayhem, you know.
Yeah,
but they weren't perfect either. They might kill and eat their enemy, but they were good to their families. So there was an innate, you know, right and wrong thing built in.
The orneriest ones I saw were those pygmies. Those were some ornery little guys, boy. All right, got to move on. But thanks.
Okay.
Let's go to. Let me see. We'll take Eric. Eric, you got 1 minute.
Hi, calling to let you know. Oh, and to let you know, I fought the communists. I got a high school teacher of mine canned in the mid-80s. She was, do you know what is the innards of a watermelon?
Oh, well. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, but we're out of time. So thanks for calling. And, folks, I got to tell you this, okay? The essentials of salvation. Number one, as we keep telling you, folks, it's repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You find that where? Matthew 3:2, I guess. Now, this was the message of John the Baptist as he preached in the wilderness of Judea to the people who thronged about him. It was a timely message. It was appropriate for his day, and it's also appropriate for today. Jesus also said, and we quoted this earlier, Joe, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Perish.
Luke 13:3. Sinners must repent in order to be saved. I know that the Word of Faith movement says no, repentance is not necessary. But that's not what God's Word, the Bible, says. And so he says here, backsliders must also return unto the Lord Jesus. And that's through repentance. Now, you can't lose your salvation, but I can tell you, if you don't repent, you can certainly lose your rewards. So this is God's plan. God's way, there is no other alternative, nothing that can take its place, no other way. Good works won't do it, catechisms won't do it, education won't do it, just quitting one's own sins won't do it, and merely turning around in the road won't do it. One must repent in order to be saved, and God says so, and he means it. What is repentance? Repentance is actually godly sorrow, folks, for sin. The godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to the repenting of it, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. 2 Corinthians 7:10. That doesn't mean doing a little something to ease the guilty conscience. Godly sorrow is a deep sorrow that reaches every nook and corner of the heart, the mind, and the soul. It goes to the depth of one's being. It means that one is sorry for all the sins and becomes deeply repentant. It gives up all the sins, then goes out of the sinning business altogether. Amen. So when we talk about the new birth, folks, you must be born again. John 3:7. This is the message that Jesus preached. So that's what you need to do, folks. Out there listening tonight, you need to pray to the Father and remember what Christ did, how he suffered. He suffered in your place. Ask for forgiveness. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. Folks, if you do it and you mean it, then you will become a new creature, born-again believer, an heir to the kingdom, because God always honors his word, and you'll be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You've got God's word on that. God's word on that. And it doesn't get any better than the word of God, does it, Joe?
It sure doesn't.
So
there's nothing more sure, and the word lasts forever, so it's not going to change.
Amen. Now, you know, don't do like some of those. I remember when a young man said to me when I was preaching one day out there on the street, that right now I'm going to party hardy, but when I get old like you preach, then I'll get religion. And I told him with an attitude like that, you know, I didn't get this old by being stupid, son. So anyhow, folks, we're out of time for tonight. So Joe, as we get to this point, we're going to hear. Just in 1 second, we're going to hear Styles say 30. I think we just heard Styles say 30. All right.
Then
that
we
means
say,
we say good night.
Good night.
We say God bless.
Bless.
And then we always say, and ready? Always, always, always,
always,
folks. And we do mean always. Ready? Keep
fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Lots of channels. Nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.